Blog Talk Radio.
Urban Glory Radio, simply glorious. In spreading the gospel to the world, we have designed a streaming radio broadcast for every believer. This word, worship, and witness-filled broadcast streams live every week. Access episodes on demand 24 hours a day. Subscribe to our iTunes podcast and take UDR wherever you go. Visit us online at urbangloriecampaigns.webs.com. Also find us at twitter.com/urban_glory and like us on Facebook. Enjoy today's broadcast.
Well, hello there, Urban Glory Radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, one of the leaders here at Urban Glory Campaigns. We are delighted to have another amazing, amazing woman for our Women's History Month celebration that we have every year. And she is none other than Miss Vicki Evans, amazing woman of God that I met some years back at a prayer conference, actually. She was vending there. And as soon as I walked in the door, I saw this bright, beautiful face with her with her Art of Forgiveness book and some information about what you're going to hear about tonight. Rather than give it away, I'll just let her say hello, and we'll get right into the interview. Hello, Vicki.
Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful, especially now that I have you on the line and have our listeners hearing your voice finally. I've been wanting to bring you on for some time, and we've made it happen. Yay for us.
Well, thank you for the invitation, and I'm always
Absolutely.
Thrilled and honored when someone gives me an opportunity and a platform to share my work and my interests. It's always a pleasure.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So let's get right into the meat of it. I'm going to ask you what I've asked every other wonderful lady that we brought on this particular month. What does Women's History Month signify for you, or what significance does it have for you?
Well, I would like to say first that I am so glad that God made me a woman. That is just an awesome thing for me. I wouldn't want to be anything else. We are so phenomenal in so many different ways. And so I'm glad I'm a woman, but not only that, I walk in the footsteps of some awesome, phenomenal women who have paved the way.
Right.
I am a big fan of Sojourner Truth. I am an even
yeah.
bigger fan of Maya Angelou. So to say that and to say that I am now walking in those footsteps, and now I'm able to lay down some pebbles so that the sisters that are coming behind me can also glean from being a woman and Woman History Month, and all of that means so much to me because we are leaving a legacy for our girls. We are
yes.
leaving a legacy that is so important that when people look back and they can achieve what we have achieved, and as for me, I'm achieving also those things that Maya and others have achieved as well.
That's right. Well said. Very well said. To no surprise. She is a writer, which we'll talk about, and just very well said. Just, I couldn't have put it any better. So let's get right into it. Who is Vicki Evans? Tell us. And, you know, that's a question that's used in all types of interviews, not just radio, but when you go for a job interview or even just a business proposal meeting where you're making a presentation, often questions ask, well, who is or what is, as far as the company is concerned, but who is Vicki Evans as it pertains to being the professional that you are?
I'm just really, it's funny that you asked me that question because last Friday, just a couple of days ago, I asked my cast here in Charlotte, who are you? And so for you to ask me, who am I? Kind of role reversal here, but it is it's a very important question because I do know who I am. And first of all, you know, you're saying from a professional standpoint, but even from a personal standpoint, I couldn't be anything or anyone if it wasn't for God. And I always
That's right.
say that first because. Even the accomplishments that I have made in my life, if you knew Vicki, the person, the little six-year-old girl who was very, very shy and introverted, you would be amazed that I have accomplished what I've accomplished. I'm a playwright, you know, an award-winning playwright, I should say. I've written probably about 7 plays, actually. Most people only know me for the 2 Change Is Gonna Come, which is a domestic violence awareness stage play. And I have an awesome Good Samaritan play called The Gift. So I'm a playwright. Mm. I am an award-winning, best-selling author as well. I put that out there like that because I am amazed, too, that I am this person because I wrote my first book at 46 years of age. So I was a late bloomer. Most of the things I've accomplished in my 40s. And so I am just really, really amazed to say that I am all these things. I am an entrepreneur. I have 2 businesses. Soaring High Productions is my for-profit business, and we pretty much give playwrights an opportunity to showcase, performing artists the opportunity to showcase their talents. And then we also just launched our nonprofit organization, Performing Arts and Literary Society. And what we do,
yes,
we also produce stage play, but the difference, the twist of that is that it's different from Soaring High Productions. We do advocacy for social justice using theater. So, I'm proud to be all of those things as well as a mother. You know, I have 3 children. I'm a mother. I'm a sister. I'm a daughter. I'm awesome. So I know I've said a mouthful in just a few minutes, but I am all those things, and we can expound on that as we go on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, as I was the few weeks since we talked about really making this happen for this year, I reviewed all the things that you've done, and it was to no surprise, and I knew, but when you refresh yourself on all the accomplishments that a person's made, just like if you get a chance, Vicki, if you haven't listened already, Tanya Breland, who's not only a friend but a family member, she was on 2 weeks ago, a young lady by the name of Courtney Mills, she was on last week, and just the amazing women that are connected to me, I had kind of an honor. I've done some things myself, but there's still some things I know I am called to do and desire to do. So rather than have a whole month where some of us just emphasize things that we do, I wanted to bring other women on, and I talked to Reverend Breland whenever we started this. I think it's been maybe 4 years now. We've got to highlight these women because we are, unfortunately and sadly, still society attempts to suppress the female contribution in different ways. And for the longest time, I thought that the church was fully responsible and mainly the ones to do it, but I've seen it out in the world as well, secularly. In corporate America, also in government agencies, you'll see where we're not paid as much as our male counterparts and just all kinds of things where it's just not fair. And Urban Glory is a ministry that has been a full support of anyone in ministry, whether they're male or female. Doesn't matter the gender. In fact, the scripture tells us to not even look at gender. We're supposed to see each other as the family of God, period. So we wanted to take this time, since it's designated as that in America, where we're headquartered, we might as well just take that month of March and highlight the women of our current, the women of the past as well, and the women who are coming up and will be the future of the women of this earth that are making an impact for the kingdom of God. So I love what I saw all over again of what you have done and are still doing. Some people accomplish the things that you've done, will just kind of sit back and, okay, it's time to retire. But not Vicki. Vicki is going at it again. Let's talk about what you're doing.
Done. What are you talking about?
That's the mindset that I love.
Yes, I love it.
I'm excited about how you have structured PALS, which is the acronym of what you just talked about, and whatever we can do to help push that movement, that assignment that I know is God-given. We would love to do that, including what we're doing now. And exposing our audience to the great things God is doing with you. Let's talk about you bringing the amazing, amazing play, A Change Is Going to Come, back up to the D.C. area. She's from the DMV, you all. That's where I met, met Vicky, and she now lives in, is it Charlotte?
Yes, I'm in Charlotte,
in the Charlotte
North
area.
Carolina now.
And she's bringing A Change Is Going to Come back to D.C. Tell us about that. How did that come about? Why are you bringing it back, and how can our audience witness this play?
I feel like I have a love affair with Washington, D.C. area for some reason. Yes, I did live there for 19 years, starting with Fort Belvoir, and then I went to Woodbridge, Virginia, and then ended up living in Fredericksburg before moving to Charlotte, North Carolina. And my children, my three babies, they're not babies, they're grown-ups, but my three children, I have a daughter and two sons. They also still live in the area, so I'm still very much connected to the DMV. I originally wrote A Change Is Gonna Come, and just a little bit about change. Change is so powerful because it deals with domestic violence in the church. And it's not something that I had personally experienced in the church. I got the divine call to write this play. And if I tell you my story, I mean, most people sit down and they are amazed, because basically I had a, I'm going to call it a Moses kind of encounter, where I heard the voice of the Lord telling me to write this play about domestic violence in the church. And I thought, oh my God, I don't know anything about that, and I don't even know anyone who is being affected. But I found out later that one in four Christian couples experience domestic violence, and so it's a very, very real occurrence. And not only that, about a week after I got the assignment, the mandate, and I had that Moses encounter, there was a news report in Decatur, Tennessee, about a woman, her name was Mary Winkler, that murdered her husband, Matthew, and Matthew was a pastor of a church there in Decatur. So 1 week later, after I had gotten that assignment, I have a real live case to really validate what I had been given. And then 1 week after that, I was at a women's support group called Girl Talk. And in that session, a woman sent up a question. She said, what do you do if you're being abused and my husband is a pastor? And so there go my mandate to write this play. So that was in 2007. So in 2007, we opened in Alexandria, Virginia, at the George Washington Masonic Temple, June 9th, 2007, never forget that day, to a sold-out audience. And so that was my first encounter in Washington, D.C. area. And then I, 2008, we went to the Lincoln Theater there in Washington, D.C., and that was a glorious affair, almost 800 folks showed up for that. And then I, a year later, I moved to Charlotte. And I thought, okay, this is a different path for me to go on. I'm here in Charlotte, so we're down south now. We're away from the D.C. area. But about, I think it was 2 years later, we came back to D.C., went to Silver Springs, Maryland, and we did A Change Is Gonna Come there. So I thought, okay, well, you know, Rick, we've been back and forth to D.C., and I thought I had my feel of D.C., but then last year, for some reason, I got the unction to bring Change back to D.C. this year, April 22nd, 23rd. We will be doing Change at the Arc Theater off of 1901 Mississippi Avenue, Southeast.
Yes.
And at first when I got the mandate, because I did this last year, I said, hey, I'm going to put a deposit down at the ARC. And I really didn't really understand why I wanted to come back to D.C., why. But in the last 2-3 months, actually since December, there have been so many domestic violence murders in the D.C. Mm-hmm. area. I get it now. I truly, mm-hmm. truly get it. I understand why I'm coming back. I feel like it's time for me to raise my voice for those silent victims who,
yeah.
you know, the statistics say 1 in 3 women are affected. We represent the one, Performing Arts and Literary Society, and I'm glad that you called it PALS. We are the PALS. We are the friends. We're standing up for those women. We are standing up for Crystal Hamilton, who was murdered in Woodbridge, Virginia, by her Army
yes.
Sergeant husband. We're standing
yes.
up for Crystal. And in this play, we are making people aware that domestic violence exists, and it's time for us to deal with it. We're standing
yes.
up. It's time to stand up. So, and that's why we're coming back. You know, PG County, Maryland, has the highest incidence of
mm-hmm.
domestic violence in the state of Maryland,
mm-hmm.
the entire state. So that reason alone is a good reason to come back to say, this is what's happening. We need to deal with it. Not only do we need to deal with it in our communities, but we need to deal with it in our church. Because there was
That's
another
right.
sister I think it was in Leesburg, Virginia. And they were in the church. The husband was a deacon. They had attended church that Sunday. She was murdered on that Sunday. Left that Sunday, went to some friend's house, watched the football game, went home that evening, he murdered her. Just left church, you know. So that's why it's so important that we begin to deal with it, not only, in, like I said, in our communities, but in our churches.
Churches,
we need to do it.
That's right. That is right.
I know,
you know, I've always...
That was a long monologue, but I have something in me when it comes to that.
It was great that you expressed it that way, which is the only way that you can with the passion that you have. I've always admired that the passion that you have concerning it. My husband, the Reverend Breland, who is the founder of the ministry, he often teases me in a positive way. He teases me about the passion that I have concerning women. If anything sounds like we're being mistreated, and if it sounds even close to mistreatment, or we're being made less than, especially in ministry and leadership. In fact, a couple years ago, we did a conference by this very platform. We did, I guess you could call it a radio conference, where we had different speakers, particularly ourselves, talking about different subjects that are issues in the church. And women in ministry was my assignment, and it was controversial, but it was the truth of God's word. Because often, we just see too much of this, and often that is the source of why. Because if you do not think that your wife is your equal as a man, you will treat her like some type of object and beat her around because she's not doing what you told her to do. So if you go to the source of it and deal with the mindset, which is what I was dealing with in women in leadership, that often and sometimes we women, I've heard some women talk down about us, and it's like, all right, would you look in the mirror and tell yourself you're ugly? That's what you're doing right now when you're saying that we women are not equal to a male. But see, there goes the passion.
Well, you know,
I'm starting to ramble myself.
You know,
I'm starting to go off now.
I want to say something. I want to make a point here because there are two words that I've been really, really examining lately, and it's the word submission and the word subdue. I just think that people have it kind of mixed up because submission is I have no qualms about submitting to you. Why? Out of love, out of admiration, out of, you know, oh, my God, I love my husband. I acknowledge him. Okay, by the way, I'm not married, because I always give this scenario, and they was like, okay, I am not married at this time. I am divorced, but I know, and I truly understand on this other side of where I am now what the difference is. Submission. I love carrying out my duty. As a woman, I love being a woman. And a woman is a nurturer. She loves to take care and make sure things are in order for her man. She really does. And we do it out of nature. We love it. We submit. We obey. It's no problem. Subduing, that's something different. That's someone's attempt to control and manipulate me, and that's exactly what domestic violence is. When you try to manipulate and control that person and assert undue authority in a very harmful manner, that's a whole different subject. And a lot of times that word is used, you know, your wives are to submit, you know, as found in Ephesians 5, wives ought to submit to their husbands. Mm-hmm. And, yes, we do, but not by force, by love. Submissive is a loving word. It's a loving word. It's not a harsh word. It's not, as you said, an inequality word. It's none of that. It is because not only do wives submit or women submit, it's not the men, because there's the other part of Ephesians 5 that people don't really bring forth.
Submit one to another.
Love your wives, because you love me in the manner that I need to be loved. I have no problem submitting, for real, because you are doing your part, and then, of course, it makes me want to do my part. Willingly, without force. And that's the points that I want to make with that. You know, it's not robbery to as you said, be equal, you know, and equal doesn't mean that I got to be higher than you, or it's not an ugly word. Submission is not an ugly word. That's what I'm trying to say. It really, really isn't. In fact, it's a beautiful word if it's done the right way, because the Bible does tell us that the man is the head. Not a problem. Not a problem. But he does not manipulate or control or try to use that authority in a harmful way. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. I completely agree. Reverend Breland, in a previous lesson that he did on the broadcast, dealt with the definition of submission. And it's viewed as like where it's a king and kingdom rather than the king and queen, the relationship, where the scripture tells us to submit one to another, is to come under the mission of another. So, and often you have the males that have the strongest issue with it, and the females that have the strongest issue with it, usually there is no mission for anybody to be following. So she doesn't know where you're going. What is she submitting to? what is she submitting to? You have to go ahead.
Right. And, I mean, like today, the church I attended, the pastor made a good point too. We as women, We have no right to try to assert authority over them either. Any type of manipulation or control is wrong, whether it's from a woman or from a man. Either way, it's wrong. And if you, as he says, if you say, I wear the pants in my house, or you're trying to, you know, take the lead or the headship role, you're wrong too. You got you know, there has to be order in that home.
That's right.
And that's an important fact to remember, too. You know, we always throw that, because there are some women who are out of order as well.
That's so true.
I mean, everybody has to fulfill their role in a godly way. Let's say it that way.
That's right. You know, I cannot wait for those span of days to come. I'm looking forward to seeing the the cast and seeing you again, and the venue that you chose. I love the Arc Theater.
Yes.
The Music Academy that I'm a part of uses it every year. And
yes.
it's an amazing venue, great location.
It's an amazing venue.
Yes.
When I was in D.C., I used to say, you know what, I want to go to the Arc one day. I don't know why I never got the opportunity, maybe because I had to move so quickly. God told me to move to Charlotte. But it is a wonderful venue,
mm-hmm.
and speaking of the cast, oh my goodness, they are wonderful. And let me just say this: my mission is to take local talent, and I'm so proud of that as a director, to be able to take someone who just has an interest in acting and grooming them. And molding them into a role, that is so powerful for me. So my mission, even with Soaring High Productions especially, is to take local talent and put them on stage. We don't have headliners like a lot of people have that name draw. We don't have the Mars Chestnuts or, you know.
Right.
That's not where we're going. The actors and actresses that we have, I am proud to say, I feel that they are just as talented. They are powerful.
Absolutely.
Many are survivors. And my first lady, I have to say this, the one that's playing First Lady Lisa Fields is actually a survivor who was married to a minister that abused her. So it gives validation to what we're producing and performing.
And I'm sure, and I can't wait to see her in that position, I am sure that the authenticity of having experienced it comes out in her lines. I'm sure.
It does. It really does. But the really amazing part is the guy that plays Pastor Seals, Duran Bivens, is that, I'm telling you, I always say, you know, and I really mean this, that I probably should get security for him because he plays that part so well. However, he's the total opposite of that. He is such a gentle giant. He's such a bear. I mean, a cuddly bear. He's nothing like that part. And to see him go from who he really is and transform into this abusive person as Pastor Seals, it is remarkable.
That's a gift. That is a gift. That is awesome. And you know,
yes.
I'm thinking about us doing this again, maybe that the Monday preceding. We have Music and Arts Mondays. I'm thinking about us doing this again, at least to have you come on quickly to remind our audience, and maybe even have a couple of the cast, as many as we can get, on the call. Sorry to put you on the spot like this. Yes? Okay.
No, but they would. They would love it. They love talking about this production. We actually, a couple of years ago, we were on this domestic violence awareness radio show called The Silent Storm in Washington, D.C. And the host of that particular radio show was actually one of our cast members at the Lincoln Theater. And
okay.
So we were on that show, and they called in, the cast members called in, and it was just so awesome. So they love doing that. They love talking about the play. And like I said, a couple of them are survivors, so they like talking about their journey as well.
Amazing. Well, I just looked at my timekeeping device, and we are running out of time. So really quickly, tell our audience how they can connect with you and contact you, period, concerning the play and things of that nature, and just period.
Okay. I have actually two websites, and I'll give both of those. And
excellent.
The first one is for Performing Arts and Literary Society, and that's www.palsforlife, and let me spell it because it's P-A-L-S, the number 4, L-I-F-E, .net, palsforlife.net. And the one for Soaring High Productions, and you mentioned my book, The Art of Forgiving, well, that website I developed during that time, so and it has a lot of clips of the play on there. So it's www.forgiven2.com.
Awesome.
And it's, yeah, Forgiven 2, and it's Forgiven, the number 2.com. Okay, and I'm on social media, Vicky Broadway on my mind, Evans, Vicky, V-I-C-K-I-E, Broadway on my mind, Evans, all one word. So I'd love to connect with you there, too.
Awesome. Go ahead.
And I do welcome phone calls. I'm one of those people. I don't have no problem giving out my phone number. Should I do that or is the website?
Yeah, go ahead.
My phone number is 703-586-7523. And if you want to know more about PALS, if you want to know more about a change is going to come, or if you need ticket information, whatever, you can call me, and I'll be glad to give you that information.
Well, excellent. Again, I appreciate you coming on. I'm all smiles over here because I knew that the interview was going to go this way. it was just going to be
lively
the whole time. And then I would have to, like, pull the reins in, at least on my end, because when you talk about women and our value, I leave it at that. So, listeners, you definitely want to connect with Vicky, and she is not putting on at all when it comes to calling her. I called her when I went through a horrible situation, and she does not claim to be an expert on forgiveness, but the Lord gave her that book. It changed my life, and I knew she was the first name that came to mind when the situation happened. The first name that came to mind. I called her, and she helped me through it. She's a great friend, an amazing woman of God. Definitely connect with her. The websites that she gave, PALS for Life. That's PALS, as in Sam, the number 4LIFE.net. You also want to go to Forgiven2, and that's .com, Vicki.
Yes,
forgiven2.com. All right. Well, have a wonderful evening, everyone. You know we love you here at Urban Glory Campaigns. You can contact us anytime at 202-630-4UGC. That's 202-630-4842. Be listening all month at this point, we're at the end of the month, so be listening to the archive segments. We had some great women of God on, and we'll be doing this again, of course, next year. And keep listening to the broadcast for the upcoming series that myself and Reverend Breland will be doing. Have a wonderful night. Any last thoughts, Vicki, especially for women who want to do what you're doing?
What I always say is that with God on your side, you're in the majority. So follow
your dreams.
Go out and pursue. You cannot be who you want to be unless you go out and pursue. You can be whatever you want to be, but you got to know your worth. That's one of my books. Know your
That's
worth
right.
and pursue, baby, pursue.
And that is all, folks. Amen. Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening. This is Selena Olivia, one of the leaders here at Urban Glory Campaigns, coming to you again to say thank you for listening and to connect with us. Connect with us online. We are on just about every social media platform. Find us on Facebook by searching Urban Glory Campaigns, on Twitter at @urban_glory, and on Instagram, our music association, UGMA, Urban Glory Music Association, as well as Facebook for the Music Association.
Urban Glory Radio. Simply glorious.